Praise the Lord. Would you turn with me to the book of Hebrews, Epistle to Hebrews, the third chapter? Just a few scriptures from this chapter. An exhortation by the writer. This portion of the chapter we're going to look at, the danger of an unbelieving heart and not to harden our hearts. And the theme or the message this morning is break up your fallow ground. And I want to begin the reading with the 12th verse of the third chapter. In the 12th verse, we find, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Whilst it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation. I want to stop the reading right there. The writer refers to Israelites in the desert and what happened at Kadesh Barnea. If you read, I believe it's in Numbers, if you read, they lost heart. They became unbelieving. God promised them the promised land. And they became fearful and unbelieving, even after they saw all the miracles, all the things that God brought them through. For 40 years, they proved him. He caused the plagues to come on Egypt that emancipated them from slavery. He brought them through the Red Sea miraculously. He brought them through the Jordan River. He supplied water from the rock and manna from heaven. And they saw all those things. They saw them. And yet they became unbelieving. And the spies came back. You know the story. I don't want to prolong. The spies came back and said, yes, the land truly is flowing with milk and honey, and everything is just beautiful and it's wonderful. But the cities are great city, walled cities, and the people are like giants, and we're like grasshoppers. And we can't do it, the 10 spies, but the 2 said, if God be with us, we are well able to overcome. But God punished them because of their unbelief. Harden not your heart. Let not your heart become hard. Let it not become, in this, the translation here is stubborn, but I want to go beyond that a little bit. How does a heart get hardened? How do we get to that point? What causes it? Life gets in the way. I don't think anybody gets up in the morning and says, you know, today I'm just going to slack off on the Lord. I'm just going to do my thing. Or I think it just happens. The enemy has some insidious ways to speak to us, to distract us, to get us involved. We sometimes lose the fervency that God wants us to have. And it doesn't happen because we're evil people. It happens because we've got to guard our heart. We've got to guard what God has given us. He says in the scripture, fervent in spirit. What does that mean? Always at the boiling point. Fervent in spirit. I got to tell you, brothers and sisters, I always haven't been fervent in spirit. And when I'm in that position, when I'm in that feeling, when I don't feel the presence of the Lord like I want to, it troubles me. And I imagine it troubles you too. And I got to get on my knees, or I got to go to the Word, or I got to do something. Lord, please speak to me. Lord, I want to feel your presence. I can't live without your presence. Oh no, Lord, I can't. I don't want to be lukewarm. I don't want to be like this. Because I know what it is to be in the fire. I know what it is to feel the presence of the Holy Ghost. I know what it is when the presence comes all over you. Praise God. And that's what I want. And I know that's what you want too. Oh, Lord, help us. But life gets in the way. Marriage, job, career, recreation, other interests. They're not bad things. It's not what God's saying. Don't let those things, don't let them rob you. Don't let them pull you away from God. What happened to Israel? After all they saw, everything they saw, miracles that I would love to have seen. Miracles. Can you imagine the waters of the Red Sea just opened up? They went across on dry land. Can you imagine what that must have been? Can you imagine looking at those walls of water? Have you ever been to Niagara Falls? I don't know if you've ever been to Niagara Falls. There's a Maid of the Mist. There's a boat ride that you can take. And they go right up to the falls. And you're seeing this wall of water coming over the top. It must be 50, 60, 70 feet high. I don't know. I didn't measure it. I don't know what it, but it was just enormous. It was tremendous. I'm thinking they're walking through the Red Sea and the water was walled up on one side and on the other. And it wasn't muddy, sloshing through the mud. They walked through on dry ground. Oh, praise the Lord. And the other miracles they saw all that. But yet, they didn't believe the Lord. And he said, I swore in my wrath, they will not enter into the promised land. And they wandered for 40 years. Until all that generation died off. And the only two that went through, Joshua and Caleb. Oh Lord, you see, it's all about our heart. How is our heart? Praise God. In Hosea, you don't have to turn to this. Let me just read it. I think we're familiar with the scripture. He says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. What is the fallow ground? It's in the Word of God, it's an analogy for the fallow ground. The ground is our heart. And the fallow ground in farmers' vernacular is ground that has been left idle. It's not been plowed and the weeds grow and it becomes hard and it's not ready to accept the seed because it has a crust on it. It has to be broken up. And they can't plant if you don't take out the weeds and the roots and if you don't break it up and break that hard crust. It won't accept the seed. It won't be successful. And he compares our hearts to the ground, the fallow ground. Break up your fallow ground, ground that's laid dormant. How does your heart become like that fallow ground? How does it happen? Oh, Lord, help us to look at ourselves, examine ourselves, our heart. Lord, am I guarding my heart? Am I letting the things in? Am I sowing righteous seed into my heart? Are we growing in the Lord? Each of us ask ourselves the question, are we growing in the Lord? Are we the same as we were 5 years ago, 10 years ago in the Lord? Or has there been a deepening in our worship, in our relationship with Jesus Christ? Is there a maturing that is taking place? When the storms blow, do you have the same fear you used to have? Or do we say, Lord, I'm trusting in you. Yes, I hear the howling storm and I hear the thunder roll, but oh God, I know you're above all the clouds. I know you've got your hand on me. I know you're going to make a way. Praise God. Are we growing in the Lord? Not just attending church. Well, I attend three times a week and I but it's growing in the Lord. How is your faith? How is your faith? Is it deeper than when you first started? Praise God. And you know, we preached on this a few weeks ago, I believe it was. It's about repentance. Repentance, examining our hearts and our lives, looking into at every situation that has taken place. Examine how we got to where we are right now. What things, what decisions have we made? Have they been good decisions? Not so good decisions? And ask the Lord to forgive us and draw us closer. Oh, Lord. And from the time Jesus started to preach, it says, he says in Matthew 4, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In Mark, he says, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. In Luke, he writes, he says, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. You mean to tell me I've been in the Lord 30 years, 40 years, 20 years, whatever the number, and I still have to repent? Well, answer the question yourself. Is there anything you need to ask the Lord for forgiveness for? Is there anything that, be real about yourself. Why? Yeah, I need to repent of this. Yeah, I get aggravated with that person. Or Lord, I lose my cool once in a while. Or Lord, I get a little lazy sometimes. I don't read the scriptures like I should. Lord, I don't spend the time in prayer that I need to spend. Sometimes we have the rose-colored glasses on and everything's good. I go to church. I give to the church and I pray for people. That's wonderful. Thank God for that. But it's every day living the life, having the God presence with you and sustaining you. Praise the Lord. Have we taken our eyes off Christ? What? Have we taken our eyes off Christ? You know those little G gods that get in the way? Oh Lord, help us this morning. You know, David was a man after God's own heart, the Word of God says. And he sinned many times. But among the greatest was committing adultery with Bathsheba. He discovered she was pregnant with his child. And then he had her husband killed in battle. And we know the story. Later he took Bathsheba as his wife, and their son was Solomon. But you know what David did? You read the 51st Psalm. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. This psalm is so deep, I can almost feel the tears that David must have had when he penned these words. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. And he goes on, I don't want to read the whole psalm. He owned it. He owned his sin. He didn't say, Lord, forgive me. You know how we sometimes, I'll speak for myself. Lord, forgive me. I know I displeased you today. We don't name it. It's, Lord, forgive me. Cover me with your precious blood. No, that's not what he did. He spelled it out. And for us to receive God's forgiveness and is to really be real with the Lord and say, Lord, this is it. Today I got angry and today I had these evil thoughts. Today I let a few words slip out of my mouth, Lord, in my anger. Oh, praise God. Lord, help us. How's our Bible reading? Brother Steve had a beautiful message Wednesday night. Pick it up. What's he talking about? The Word. Pick up the Word. Read the Word. Let the Word dwell in you richly. Amen. The Word is the source of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word. Faith comes from the Word. Reading the promises of God, letting the Holy Spirit deal with you. This Word of God is like a mine. You know, where you dig deeper, you find some gold, and you go a little deeper and you find some more gold, and you go a little deeper and you find some more gold. That's the Word of God. And you read it and all of a sudden you see something you didn't see, or the Lord opens your understanding and you, oh Lord, look what it's saying. Oh, praise God. What about our prayer life? How many of us, rhetorical question, I'm not asking for an answer. How many of us spend time each day in prayer? I don't mean at mealtime and before you go to bed, but I mean spend a few, and I don't mean you have to be on your knees only. I know some have testified to praying in their car on the way to work or on the way home, or sometimes it can be at their desk. I'll never forget my going through a terrific trial with my situation and my sister before she passed. I went into to work early, make my rounds. It was about, I think I was there at 6:30-ish, maybe a little earlier. And our building at Monsanto there was in where the lab was. And I was on the first floor and I was in my office. And I was there just a little discouraged and just thinking about my sister, and the Lord, please reach, deliver her. And the building was quiet because no one was there, and I heard this music coming from somewhere in the building. I don't remember the song, but I remember it was just like, it was something that was just soothing. Something that the Lord just gave me some assurance. Like the sister testified, like a hug. You know when you need a hug? What's that commercial? Is it one of those telephone commercials? The guy comes up and says, you look like you need a hug. Sometimes I think the Lord looks at us and says, you know, you look like you need a hug. Don't you love it when the Lord hugs us? Amen. The Holy Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit. One called alongside to help. When your legs are getting weak and you're getting faint, the Holy Spirit seems to grab you. Just pull you up. You remember Brother Sam Chetta? What a bear hug that man had. When he hugged you, you were hugged. Let me tell you, it was just like that. The Holy Spirit just hugs us. Oh, praise God. What about our love for souls? Talking about how our heart gets hardened and crusty over time. You know, the Great Commission says, go out into all the world, preaching, teaching, all the things that I have told you, all the things I have said. I want us to live up to the name on this church, Evangelical, Full Gospel Assembly. We got the full gospel down. We need the evangelical, amen? Praise God, help us, Lord. A burden for souls, Lord, how can we reach? We're glad you're here. We're thankful for you here. But we have an evangelistic work to do. Many, right in our own families, amen? If we did nothing else but preach to our families, talk to our families, pray for our families, we'd be doing a lot. Oh, praise God. Love for souls. Lord, help us to be a beacon. Lord, lead us in ways that we can reach out to others. Now, you know, there's mechanical, there's things we can do. But they have to be led of the Holy Spirit. It's not just, well, we're going to send flyers out. And if the Lord leads us to do that, we may do that. But I'm saying not just, well, let's look at what are churches doing? What? Let's go on the internet. Let's figure it out. What do they do to have people attend? Well, they send flyers and they have this and they have that and they have these activities. And well, we got to just trust the Lord. Lord, what do you want from us? Because what saves the soul? What reaches the heart? What changes the heart? The Word of God, the anointing of the Holy Spirit as it moves on the heart. Amen. We could have wonderful attractions, beautiful light show. We could have, the screens and all that. And I'm not against any of that stuff. That's not the point. It's what the Holy Spirit does. He can work in those things too. I understand that. But Lord, it's got to be you. It's got to be you leading the charge. Amen. You directing the path. Praise God. Oh, praise God. Help us. What about our love of things and possessions? Do we let them get a hold of us? Do we let them become so prominent in our thoughts, in our thinking, that they lower the priority on the Lord? And something maybe closer to home, bitterness. What about bitterness? Do we have a grudge or a bitter spirit against another? Oh, Lord, help us. Slander or gossip. What things harden the heart? Have you repeated some things about someone not knowing if they're true or not? Well, you know, I heard this. I heard that. Even to tell the truth with intent to injure is slander. Your mother ever tell you, your father, if you can't say anything nice about someone, don't say anything at all? That ought to be in the Bible somewhere. It's not, but that ought to be in the Bible somewhere. Amen. You see, these things all work against the body of Christ. And the heart gets hardened. We become a little callous. And we've got to break up that fallow ground. The Holy Spirit's got to come sometimes like a dynamite charge and just break it up. We get so, I don't want to use the word stale. That's not strong enough. It's more than stale. We just become just kind of satisfied. We start to get like the church of Laodicea a little bit. Get a little lukewarm. Oh, God, help us this morning. What about lying? You know, I get amused in the press and the politicians. They never call someone a liar. You never, they misspoke. They misspoke. And God wants us to call it what it is. Did we tell the truth or not? If we didn't tell the truth, it's a lie, right? It's not a misspoke. It's a lie. Oh, that's so harsh. That word is, there's something about that word is harsh. But it's real. It's true. What about robbing God? Oh, I don't rob God. Well, what about our offerings, our contribution to the church, to the work of God? What about that? There's things we like to do, but we're lacking the money to do it. There's things that God could use that we could do if we had the money, but we're lacking. It's part of your worship. Giving to the Lord is part of your worship. Don't hold back from God. Bring your tithes. I think it's in the Old Testament. Bring your tithes and offerings, and I will pour you out a blessing. You'll not have room enough to receive. Oh, Lord, would you help us today? What about our time for the Lord? Going the extra mile. What about the Sabbath? Well, that's Old Covenant. That's Old Testament. What about God says, keep the Sabbath holy? I know today we live in a different age. I'm not blind. I'm not trying to go back and reinvent things. I understand. Sunday has become like Monday or Tuesday. There's no reverence. You mothers and fathers know your kids in sports activities on Saturday, Sunday. You can't help it. What's the answer? The answer is pray and ask the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you. Remember, you are responsible. Mothers and fathers, you are responsible for your children's development spiritually. The example you set in your home, the example, you might be a wonderful person and fine, that's all good. But it's the spiritual example that is important. It's the spiritual example. What do they see in you? They may reject it. You can't control that. But give them time. The Holy Spirit will come back around. The Holy Spirit will stay after them. Brother Ron, even after they're gone for so many years, yes, even after so long, the Holy Spirit. But you got to set the example in the tone. What do we do on Wednesday night? We go to church. What do we do Sunday morning? We go to church. What do we do Sunday night? We go to church. I'm not minimizing how difficult it is sometimes. Both parents working. I understand all that. There's no set rule. You got to do the best you can, but the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide. The Holy Spirit will make a way. We're talking about breaking up the fallow ground. Well, we can't touch this area of my heart. No, that's off limits. No, God says it's not off limits. It's all open. Oh, Lord, help us. I want to go back to briefly. I like this part. But he said, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Exhort one another daily. I want to use the word encourage one another daily. We all got our problems. We are dealing with issues. We all have family issues. We all have problems. Exhort, encourage one another daily. If nothing else, pray one for another. Say, Lord, help my sister. Help my brother. I see them. There's something going on, or maybe they're missing church or whatever the situation, but Lord, help them. A few weeks, our young people are going back to college. I want us to pray for them. We mention them on the prayer list once a month, but before they leave, you know what I'd like to do? I'd like to call them up to the front and lay hands on them and pray, and Lord, would you protect them? Would you watch them as they're away from us? They're going to be in an environment that the enemy is going to try and have his way, but oh God, you're bigger. You're greater. Praise the Lord. Oh Lord, help us. There is a parable that Jesus talks about in Luke. You don't have to turn to it. The widow and the unjust judge. And this judge was a godless man. Didn't fear God, didn't fear any man, did his own thing, but she was persistent. Lord, or judge, I want justice. I want justice. And finally, he relented, and Jesus speaks. Hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cried day and night before him, unto him through though he bear along with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Shall he find faith on the earth? Jesus' question indicates, as the time of his return draws near, evil will become so dominant that many in the church will fall away. That's what Paul wrote to Timothy in the last days. Great falling away. Fall away from the kind of faith that perseveres in prayer as we approach history's end. The question for each of us, am I persevering in faith, continuing steadfast in prayer and calling on God that justice may be done and his righteous cause may triumph completely and forever? I'm not talking about changing the United States. I'm not talking about righting all the wrongs. This is what the Word of God predicts. What we're seeing is in the Word of God. What is happening to us right now is in the Word of God. It's not spelled out exactly, but if you read it, it pretty well describes what's happening. Lawlessness, the evil, all the things that are going on, things that just you can't begin to comprehend. Child trafficking, corruption, evil, sin. It's all. I'm not talking about changing that. I'm talking about the church. Are we going to persevere in faith? Lord, those that you have called, those that you want to bring into the kingdom, Lord, give us, Lord, to be a witness, an example to them. Lord, come and move upon your people. Come, Lord, and use us for the kingdom of God. Oh, praise God. Are we so preoccupied with this life? And it's easy to do that our focus is not where God wants it to be. Break up your fallow ground. Oh Lord, for we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. And he says, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. Oh, Lord, do we hear his voice today? What is the message? The Lord is exhorting the church. Look, be careful. Watch, guard your heart. Don't let your heart become like the fallow ground or the crust and the weeds and the roots that choke out the word and can't receive the word of God. The word of God has none effect. You preach and preach and preach, and it's right in the scripture, not making it up. We're just saying, this is what the word says, and it seems like it falls on deaf ears. Why is that? The heart is hardened, or hardened is hardened. God says, break up your fallow ground. Oh, praise God. Today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow. Not next week. Well, you know, once I get this final behind, once I get this schoolwork behind, once I get my degree, I'm going to be okay. No, you're not. Because you think the enemy's going to wait? Well, let's let him get his degree, then I'll attack. No, he's going to attack you now. He's going to go after you now. And not just one way or two ways. He's going to overwhelm you at times. He's going to say, I got you now. I've been following you. I know what you do. I know what you think. I know what you read. I know what you watch on television. And I know how to attract you. And I know how to distract you. Today, encourage one another daily. Oh, praise God. You see, that's what the body of Christ does. I want to close with one scripture. Sisters, would you come forward? It's in I don't have it marked down here. Let me paraphrase it. It says, we're changed from glory to glory as we behold his face. We're changed from glory to glory as we behold him. The implication is that the Holy Spirit, as we behold the face of the Lord, I'm not talking physically, but in the presence of the Lord, as you know, Moses came down from the mount and his face shone. He had to wear a veil because it was so bright the people couldn't take it. It made the people afraid. But it was only superficial. With us, as we behold the face of Jesus Christ, as we come into his presence, he changes us from glory to glory. He changes. He draws us near. He works in our soul. There's a deeper relationship with him. We're changed from glory to glory. That's what the word of God says. We mature. We become perfect. And that word perfect means mature in the scriptures. We are changed from glory to glory. Praise God. That's what God desires. He wants to change us. But we have to get in his presence, and we have to say, Lord, have your way in me. Isn't he good this morning? Oh, praise God. I'm going to stop right here. May the Lord encourage you this morning. Lord, help us to guard our hearts. Help us to guard our hearts this morning. May the name of the Lord be praised.